Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome, our friends and family. Welcome, listeners of the podcast. We are so happy to be here again, yet again, in another week. This is Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. I believe it's episode 83 now. Is that right, Mr. Bo?
I believe so, too. And I already am in fear when I think about the post-production of this episode, because we get a not-so-stable connection there. But hello, hello!
Yeah, it's not the best connection today. I'm in this office, and the internet isn't really. There's like kind of an internet connection set up through my office partner's window. She lives in the apartment above us, and it's kind of this router that hangs out of a window, and you have to hope that it connects to the office, and it's not very strong. So last time that we tried this with the internet, it didn't work at all. So now I've been setting up my hotspot on my phone, but we'll try our best to give you a decent show today.
But that's one thing I find a bit funny, to be honest, because of what you do and use this office for. But first and foremost, like, the person that had this office before you also, like, kind of worked in a creative field, and I don't see how you, like, in 2021, like, can do that without being completely frustrated, without a stable internet connection.
It is really frustrating. I mean, so yeah, we had a previous, like, one of our previous guests on the show, Basti Bolenios. He actually used to work in this office, and we talked to him about how he functioned in here, and they just bought their own router. I think he had like a 1 or 2 year contract, and I think he shared it with one other person. And we, of course, we are talking about just doing that. But we have to talk about how long of a commitment can we make? How long do we see ourselves in this office? Blah, blah, blah. And then, so we are talking about doing that. And then we had this sort of semi-solution where this router had a repeater from the window to this office. And for Kati, my office mate, it works for her. She doesn't really have too many issues. But, you know, we do the podcast, especially when we do it, on Zoom or Skype. I have to send these huge files. Sometimes it's like, like last week was like a 90-minute show, and you need a great internet connection to send a file that large. I can't even send the show here. Or when I pre-record this radio show, that's also quite a lot of data that I can't just send here in the office and be done. So sometimes when I come in, I'll try the internet. I'll do something simple like check an email or open up a browser. And if it doesn't really work, then I just set up the hotspot. But what I don't mind about this faulty internet connection, which, I mean, ooh, that's my creepy door opening wider.
Dude, are you already in Halloween mode?
Did you hear that?
Like, for me, this call is kind of an early Halloween special. Before we started this recording, like, we had the classic, like, internet call freeze because of your connection. And then, like, the moment when it rebuilds, like, the audio comes back and the video comes back. And Jordan's audio came back and he said, "Wait, I'm still here." And then the video came back and he was not there. Like, you just saw a swinging chair and was like, ooh.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Well, for those who are interested in, like, Halloween-y things, I know there's some great Halloween themed, like, horror stuff coming to Netflix this month. And there's going to be a new Michael Myers film, pretty sure. Halloween Lives, I think it's called. And there is this, so there's this podcast company called Snap Judgment. It's a show called Snap Judgment. And they do, like, societal, cultural stories. And then they have the host, his name is something Washington. He has a like a sub-series that also became really popular. Like, he's a big Halloween fan and a big spooky story fan. And mm-hmm. on Snap Judgment around Halloween, he would always put out these really specific scary stories of people's, you know, quote unquote, true encounter events with a spirit or a poltergeist or something, something that the unknown. And it was always like really well told, gripping first person encounter stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it got so popular that they made it into its own podcast called Spooked. And so Spooked got really big, and the podcast company Luminary bought it. And the only big downside to that is that Luminary is a subscription only service, so you can't even listen to so much Spooked anymore. But they, every once in a while, they will release one or two, like the previously subscription only episodes onto Spooked. And if you're into a good scary story, I would check out that podcast, because I just saw that they dropped their first one of the month. Sorry, go ahead.
Talking about scary stories, have you seen Squid Game on Netflix yet?
Dude, I feel like if I'm not careful, it's gonna get spoiled for me absolutely everything that happened, because TikTok loves this movie. It's everywhere.
It's a show.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere, and I'm dying to watch it. I just can't watch it yet, but I want to so bad.
It's
Did
crazy.
You watch it?
It's I believe it's like 9 episodes, and I've seen like, dude, I've been up late last night because I was so like, it catched me so hard, and I've seen like 4 or 5 episodes now. And I didn't hear anything about it. And then, like, I had one of these moments that I have at times now where I don't get things because I'm not on social media anymore. Because my girlfriend came home one night from work and was like, we gotta watch this series. It's all over social media and it looks pretty interesting. And then we started and it's super crazy. And the thing is, I've seen 5 episodes now and I still don't know if I really like it, or like if I find it good or not, but it is so thrilling and entertaining that I want to watch it till the end. Because what I'm not so sure about is like that I see so much from other movies in there, or shows, and I still haven't decided for myself. Like, is it the cool kind of stealing in movies, like in music, like sampling,
mm-hmm.
or did they just not have enough like original ideas?
Like, you mean the references that they're shoot? Like, they'll have a scene that reminds you of like a Pulp Fiction moment.
Dude, everything like from the first episode. Like, we've seen the first episode. I like and stopped it, and I was like, okay, this is Tarantino. This is Truman Show. This is Hunger Games. This is Star Wars. And it's like, dude.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they're copying so much, and it's not even subtle how much it's being copied.
I didn't think it's too subtle, but I'm rather tending to, like, after having seen 5 episodes, I rather tend to towards the side that I really, really like it, actually, because it's so well made that that I really enjoy it.
I saw that people online, especially Korean people online, at least on TikTok, were going crazy when they realized that, I mean, of course it's a foreign film or foreign series, so there are English dubs for people who don't want to read. And they went crazy about this because they were like, if you're watching Squid Game with these ridiculous English dubs, then you're wasting your time, or like you're not even getting the full experience. Which, like, in my opinion, I always prefer, and I think you're the same, like, prefer watching it in whatever language it comes in and just reading the English subtitles. But with Squid Game, they showed these clips online of the show and how the actors are looking as they talk and how they voice what they're saying, and then you hear the English voice on top of it, and it is pretty cheap the way it comes off.
Okay.
I don't think I've, I mean, we talked about there's my squeaky door again. We talked about Oktoberfest 1900 on a different episode.
Yeah.
and we've talked about it like a couple episodes ago or whatever. We talked about like a lot of German entertainment
last week, bro.
Last week. Sorry, man. A lot's been going on. last week. And when I think about like when there's shows that I want to see, like I would like to see what Hindafing is like, and I would like to see what, mm-hmm. you know, I watched Biohackers and I liked Unorthodox in these shows, even though Unorthodox is both languages. But whenever there's German, I want to hear the German, of course, and just have English subtitles. That's mm-hmm. the only issue I have with a lot of German shows on streaming platforms here is that they don't offer English subtitles. So when there is a show like Squid Game that does offer the subtitles, I would always opt for that because the dubs is always weird. It's English dubs are always weird.
That's super funny because I think that's a whole nother thing, like for me, because like I was like, I was joking to Tony, like when we started the first episode, because she was like, yeah, well, because she was like, in the settings, like clicking on English, and I was like, hey, what are you doing? It's a Korean show. We don't have to, like, I was like, yes, now I can watch something in the dubbed German version again.
Oh, you're watching it with German dubs.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I thought you would have the German subtitles.
No. Because the thing is, like, I also watch everything in, like, an original version. But for me, that only works with languages that I have at least some form of connection to or a chance to get something that the people, like to get at least something, like, tiny little pieces of the spoken language. And for me, like, that's, and sadly, I don't know any Korean or Mandarin or especially like rather Asian languages. But for me, that is about like, okay, obviously German, English, Italian, French, and probably a bit Spanish. So like that works for me, like, because I can always find some form of connection and like understand tiny pieces, and it gets better and better. But with Korean, I tried that. Like, I realized that with that one movie you gave me once. I forgot the name. Yeah, exactly. And I realized, like, okay, I got absolutely no chance. Like, I really have to, like, because when I really have to focus on subtitles, then they really annoy me because I feel like, okay, I'm missing out on so much.
I see. Okay. Yeah, like, I know that a lot, like, most Germans who watch TV and stuff growing up, like, it's you know, you see tons of shows from the UK and from America, and they're just dubbed in German. Like, you don't really have the option, you know? Like, I've seen Friends and The Simpsons and whatever, and it's all dubbed. And so that makes sense that, you know, you want to do that when you're older because that's what you know. And that makes sense.
Yeah, and I started, like, to watch everything, like, any, like, let's start with any UK or US production. Mm-hmm. Because I would say, like, that with English, that works for me. Also, like I don't know, Casa de Papel. What's the English title of it, actually? Like, the Netflix show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where, from Spain? What's the English title?
How did you call it again?
The original Spanish title is Casa de Papel. Like, House of Money.
House of Cards?
Money Heist, it's called.
Oh, Money Heist.
Heist. Not
yeah,
heist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. I didn't watch that, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and like Spanish shows or like Narcos or stuff like that, that works for me. But like with Korean, I was like, yeah. Because the thing is, like, and I really also at times enjoy watching dubbed German versions because I feel like... And a friend of mine, like, is dubbing like movies and series since she was a child, and so I know a little bit about it, about this industry in Germany, and like this is a strong industry because like television has been a big thing like since the 60s, I would say, in Germany, and probably it is weird as American because most of the stuff all the world watches like comes out of your own country, so it's obviously in English and you don't see other things within a dubbed English version, and probably for that, like, it's they're also not so well made but like I've seen a lot of, obviously a lot of like dubbed German movies and series, and like often they are very good, and you don't like it, it's not like you see the actors and it's like, okay, obviously it's something completely different going on like on the screen versus on the speakers.
Yeah. I do have to correct myself a little bit. I did forget that there is an entire industry of film that I watched a shit ton growing up that was always dubbed in English, and that was Kung Fu and Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan movies. I watched, like, probably still in one of my top 20 favorite movies ever is Rumble in the Bronx with Jackie Chan. I think that's from, like, 92 or something.
No.
And I love that movie, and it's really cheesy and it's really bad, but Jackie Chan is just so impressive as a physical performer and kung fu master, and it's just so cool. And like, you know, Drunken Master, I think, is another one one of the earliest ones he did. I don't know. There's a bunch of Jackie Chan movies, but when I was a kid growing up, like a lot of kung fu, my friend Cody and I, we watched a lot of Bruce Lee movies, and I think he spoke English in the more popular ones, but a lot of dubbed English Jackie Chan movies that I watched from his early career, and then just a bunch of, like, I would go to like video stores and find these, you know, super discount for sale, no one's ever watched these sort of cheap kung fu rickety VHS tapes, and I love those too, and they were all dubbed, and I didn't think anything about that. So I do have to say, that is the one thing that I would probably still watch dubbed, would be like a pure old school kung fu movie. And even later ones, like what's it? Flying Something Hidden Dragon. Something Hidden Dragon. It was a huge film. I think it had Jet Li in it. I want to say, like, it's not Flying Lotus, but it's like Flying Something Hidden Dragon. And that was such an enormously huge film. I guess it's out of China. And that was dubbed too. So any sort of kung fu movies, I can still watch dubbed and not feel bad about it at all. But for some reason, somewhere around like later in high school, and of course, most likely it's from going to college and going to film school where they show you everything original with subtitles. You just get used to it. So, you know. Now, yeah, if there's still a film like Old Boy, you know, sorry.
No, like for anything new I watch, like it's the same for me, but I still like realize from time to time that I like shows as like also like American shows that I like really know for a long time, and the kind of shows or movies and series you can watch anytime. That I've grown up with and fell in love in some form or whatever, and there are some where I still cannot, even though there would not be any kind of an issue with the language, but I still cannot watch the original because I'm so like connected to the dubbed German version. Like for example, Scrubs.
Scrubs and dubbed. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, the thing is, dude. Like, the thing is,
no.
Like, I absolutely love Scrubs, but I started watching it when I was, I don't know, like I don't know, 15 or something, and it was only 10? Around. It was only around as a dubbed version, and so I got used to that, and now like I'm so connected to the German like voices that I can't watch in English. Like it's getting a little bit better now since I started listening to their podcast. Do you know that one?
What's it called? Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Real Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great.
And it's pretty cool, but still I like that's one of these shows, or sometimes for me it's also hard with The Simpsons. Because I know The Simpsons since I was a little child, but obviously like the German Homer voice and Marge voice and Bart voice, et cetera, and so it's like it sticks to your head.
Yeah, that's fair. I remember the first time, like in 2013 or something, I visited Germany and I stayed for a little while in this little apartment that Ify used to stay in over in Olympiacentrum, like right by the stadium. And we had a TV in there, and it was the first time that I ever flipped through a foreign country's television. And we came across The Simpsons. That was the first time that I heard that. And I remember sitting there in a new country for the first time with no like immediate intention to move here at all. And was like, this is so weird. This is so weird to see this, to hear this. It's crazy. But I have over the years seen enough things in German dub now to get a picture for it. Like with friends, for example. You know, that's another weird thing, too. You know, when you're learning a language, a lot of people tell you to watch things that you know very well in the German dub with the German subtitles. And one time I was really like going hard on that for a week. I was like, I'm going to watch a lot of stuff that I know very well. German dub, German subtitles, right? So I sit down and I pick up and I go to Netflix and I go to Friends. 10 seasons. I know every episode very well. And I sit down, I pick whatever episode we had just watched last, like something in season 3, whatever. And I know the episode. It's, you know, it's, oh, Joey's going to do this audition and Chandler's going to, you know, talk to this girl. Like, I know what's going to happen. It's good. I can watch it. What I realize is that there is something that happened between the original dubbed the original dubbing of the show, whenever that happened, whether that was back in the 90s or if they did a remastered dubbing recently, there's something that happened between that and whenever Netflix put the subtitles down for the show, because 85% of the dub and the subtitle do not match at all whatsoever.
Oh, that's crazy.
It was so crazy, in fact, that I had to call Ify into the room and say, hey, watch this scene, focus really hard on what Phoebe is saying, and read what she's saying, because she had a small monologue. And like everything she said, except for the main idea, like maybe the main idea is Monica did this, so this happened. Those would line up because you know what's being said. But the actual words, like the slang, the case, the context, like every single thing was different. And for me, that's crazy, because it meant for me from now on that I can't use Friends as a way to, I can't read what I'm hearing and like get it in my head, because yeah, I don't know, that like even small things, like one time the character Richard, Monica's boyfriend in the earlier seasons, was leaving and he was like, ciao guys, see, he's like, ciao bis später Schatzi, or something like that. And in the text, it was like, auf Wiedersehen, wir sehen uns später. Like, it was complete, like, even though the same idea, bye, see you later. Yeah. It was like completely different phrasing. And it's like, how did that not, like, when did, was the dubbing from the 90s and the subtitles from the early, like, from 10 years later? Like, why did things change?
Yeah. That's weird.
I don't get it.
That's weird. But I also like, when I think
very
about
very boring
it,
story.
No, but there are also, like some shows where I really enjoy watching both, to like switch, sometimes even from episode to episode, between the original and the German dubbed version. And since we talked about The Simpsons, I just realized for me that that works with Family Guy. I absolutely love Family Guy. It's a special kind of humor, but I really love how much effort they put into this cartoon show. Like, did you know that all the music they're playing is played by orchestra, for example? But the thing is,
no, I didn't know that.
With the German dub version, because where it gets problematic is in the comedy sector, etc. How do you deal with jokes? Because often they don't work. Like there's one example, here, not Friends, How I Met Your Mother, where I realized where it did not work with these jokes, because in the original version, like, Barney Stinson always has this phrase, suit up, and in the German version it's Anzug an, and then there's this one scene where they go out and it's somehow, it's like probably 20 years later, we know, probably a bit problematic, but somehow they need the girls to to dress up to, I don't know, they want to impress someone at the party or I don't know. Other topic. But after having heard this joke, this phrase, suit up for like the whole season, then he says, slut up. And obviously that does not work at all in German. Like, how do you translate that?
Right.
And in other shows, like,
slut up. Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
And in other shows, like, and Family Guy is one of these, like, where they start building their own jokes with the kind of same of basic idea, but in another language. Like, it starts with accents and dialects that characters in the original version have that obviously don't work in German. Like, I don't know, like a southern accent like you have grown up with doesn't make any sense in a German dubbed version. So what do you do?
Right.
Do you work with what is there? Like, okay, work with a German southern accent or something that is kind of similar, or Austrian or whatsoever. And they do the same thing with jokes, like keep the basic idea but build own jokes around it. And that's something I really enjoy, because I feel like, okay, they really made the effort to equalize that.
Did you say that the suit up is Anzug an?
Yeah.
Okay. That's funny. I had a thought, because you mentioned Family Guy. There was this interview. I used to be an enormous fan. They've been going on for a long time. I can't stay with it. I see clips and stuff a lot now, but I don't watch it so much. But I used to a lot. And I saw an interview once with Seth MacFarlane. I think he was on a podcast. And they asked him, what's the hardest thing about doing that show? Or maybe it was like, no, it was some video about Family Guy and how it had changed over the years and stuff. One of these nerdy YouTube breakdowns. And there was an interview with Seth MacFarlane where he said the hardest thing about the show over all of the years is the callback, the famous callbacks, like the cutaways that they do. For those who maybe don't watch that show or never saw it, Family Guy's famous for having a scene and doing a cutaway that's prefaced by something like, something happens and they go, wow, that's just like when so-and-so did this. And they cut away to a very short, sometimes like 15-second cutaway, just purely a joke. And I thought about what he was saying there, because that is extremely hard. Even if you don't find it funny, it's hard to set up a character and the intention of that character, the world that character is in, and the joke in like 15 seconds or something.
Yeah, dude. And they like it's, and it's really crazy what they do with it, because sometimes the joke itself is how enormous and overloaded like this cutaway is.
Right. My favorite thing used to be the like every single season, maybe sometimes twice a season, there was the cutaway to the rooster fight, the chicken fight.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would go on for like 6 minutes.
Yeah. And they're in outer space, and they're in Europe, and in New York, and...
Yeah. It would just go on and on. Did you remember when Adult Swim financed these two Family Guy, maybe even three, Family Guy Star Wars movies?
Yeah.
Because I know that Robot Chicken did that too. I don't know if you ever saw Robot Chicken.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Like the Robot Chicken Star Wars, like you can watch scenes on and highlight cuts on YouTube from Robot Chicken from these Star Wars, like with Gary the Stormtrooper, etc. yeah. And they also did that great in the German dubbed version, by the way, because I only found them in the dubbed version on YouTube. But yeah, that's also pretty nice.
Dude, the Family Guy Star Wars movies, I know they did at least the first two, like they did
They're on Amazon
Last
Prime
Hope
by now.
They're on Prime? Okay, maybe I'll rewatch that sometime. But I remember I had bought the DVDs.
Ooh.
I was a really big fan at the time. I guess that came out when I was 16 or something, a long time ago. And I bought the DVDs. I loved it so much. But yeah, it's a lot of effort to set something like that up. And just to cap off that topic, I think it makes a lot of sense that a westernized country that speaks a different language than English as its native tongue would obviously be raised on American, mostly American content in their own language. So I think it's not so crazy that as you get older, you want to, you find comfort in watching something foreign to you in a German dub. It makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, and I guess there are advantages to both, because like one thing that you often hear about, and I talk to people from Scandinavia myself about it, one reason probably why so many people in Scandinavian countries like Sweden, Norway, Denmark, many people speak and understand English on a pretty solid level, like a broad range of people, is because the TV and cinema markets there are too small to have their own like dubbing industry. So everything on TV and in the cinemas like is original with subtitles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
But one funny anecdote about that I really had to laugh about, because you said when you want to get into a language, you should start with a story like that you know and watch it in another language. Or in this case, it's a book. A good friend of mine did prepare himself for he was trying to get into diplomatic training. Like he probably wants to become a diplomat, and they got a pretty strict like program to sort out people. And to find like 12 people a year that they started training with, and obviously you have to speak multiple languages. And he wanted to refresh his French, because he had learned French in school, etc. And he wanted to get back into it and get better again. And so he started to read, and he wanted to read a story that he knows very well. So he bought himself Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets in French. And I was like, dude, there are so many French authors. Why are you reading Harry Potter in French? And he was like, yeah, because I know the story, and so it's easier for me. Mm-hmm. And then I found out some pretty funny things. Do you know what like the wands, the magic wands are called in French?
No.
Dude. Like, you're not going to believe this. They're called baguette magique.
It's like, come on.
Do you want it that we make fun about you?
Oh my god.
Baguette magique.
Baguette magique. And so it's just like, oh, the baguette magique chooses you, Harry. You don't choose the baguette magique. That's ridiculous, yeah, dude. The French also, and their bread.
Like, imagine German, Zauberbrot.
Oh my god. What is it in German? What do they call the wands?
Zauberstab. Like, Stab, like a stick. Like.
It's funny that some things aren't just, like, because there are, like, in foreign languages, there are obviously phrases that people, I see it a lot in Germany, they'll watch something in English or whatever, and then when they're referencing it, they're talking about it in German, but then they'll say like the single noun in German, like blah blah blah, und ich habe einen Wand und ich mag das, you know, but like they'll say blah 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 blah, then the word, and then blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that some things are translated and some things aren't.
Yeah.
So to see like what do you say? Zauber?
Zauberstab. No. Like
Zauberstab, yeah. And baguette magique. That's so ridiculous, dude.
Yeah. And then
because they talk about their wand all the time. They're always using their wands. It's all about his magic wand and his special wand, and use your wand in class to do like your whatever. Come on.
Yeah, and it also has this kind of, I don't know if it's just me, but it's kind of weird sexual sub sound slang to it.
Subtext?
Kind of, yeah. Like magic baguette?
Your magic... Harry. Harry, can I see your magic baguette?
And then and then after I read that, I
get getting toasty.
No, after I read this and saw this book, I went on YouTube and went for little scenes of the, like, the French dubbing of the movies. And it's also like, it is, I don't want to make too much fun about the language, but like a lot of these names, like, and J.K. Rowling, like, doesn't fool around there, like, strong, like, old English sounding names, like McGonagall, etc. And most of these, like, agreed, agreed, like, they sound cute and funny, super funny in French.
Agreed, Harry. Harry Potter.
But did you know, like, in France, that they're, because they really don't like English so much, as you could, I don't know if you know that, like, has historic reasons, like the Englishmen at the.
Oh, I've heard.
The English and the French are kind of a rough story, and so in France there is a kind of an owned ministry, for neologisms, like for new words, and they just try to find new words where new words are needed. Like, they invent new words for things that come up, like when computers came up, because the French were like, we cannot call it computer, like, that's an English word, so we have to find our own word for it. And so they found their own word, like l'ordinateur.
At least the Germans kept that, like, der Computer.
Yeah, but what the weird thing is, like with cell phones, like, the Germans found their own kind of English sounding word for it.
I don't, and I don't like the German word for phone. I mean, the handy, and you think when you learn it, you think as an American, you're like, oh, everything is like ah, like man, so it's handy. And they're like, no, it's handy. What? Handy. That is another English word. Like, oh, he's handy. Keep him around. He's handy. What? So weird. So what did the French say for phone?
Cell phone. Le portable. Like,
the portable.
Yeah, exactly. It's portable. You can carry it around.
That's funny because, like back in the 80s and 90s when they finally invented the first cell phones, you can see on, like, that show Saved by the Bell, like, Zach had that huge phone, the gray one with the long antenna. They would call, like, oh, I'm going to call Slater on my portable. You know, it's like portable. So that's actually a really old word for it. That's so strange. Did you ever know anybody who had, like, a car phone?
Oh, I think I'm too young and did not grow up in a wealthy enough environment for that.
Oh, I mean, me either. I just didn't know if that was, like, because sometimes Germany's behind on some things culturally. So I wasn't sure, like, oh, I had an uncle who got, like, an old car for cheaper, and it had, like, a, you know, a non-working phone in it or something. I've never even seen one, but I only ever saw it in movies, like I think that Michael J. Fox movie, The Secret of My Success or whatever, that had, I'm pretty sure, and Wall Street, the Charlie Sheen one, had car phones, and I always thought that was so.
Or any Al Pacino movie.
Or basically any Al Pacino movie. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think he still uses his car phone. He still has one. It's just covered in gold crusted diamonds.
Yeah. But, like, if I was Al Pacino, I also would not carry around, like, an iPhone in my pocket. Like, I would have a chauffeur, like, driving behind me with my phone in it.
Right. Right. Oh, man. When did you get your first smartphone? Or when? Wait.
Smartphone.
Did you have a phone before smartphones?
Yeah, sure. Hello.
Think. Oh yeah, there you are.
Yeah, sure.
You did. What'd you have?
Like, like a classic, like, what do you call it? Flip phone?
Or oh, did you have the Razr, like the skinny one?
It was pretty skinny, but it was not the Razr. It was a super cheap one, no camera, nothing, like calling SMS, that's it. And I got that when I was like 11 or something. And I got that phone and it was like, yeah, exactly. Like this foldable, like super cheap Samsung phone, like no camera, nothing. And it was like, and yeah. I got it with a prepaid card. And my mom like put like 30 euros on it. And that would last for like, I don't know, 1 year or something. Because I was like, okay, what did I do with it? Like from time to time, I would call somebody, but that's it. And my first smartphone, I got with 15, 14 or no, it was like, I guess it was 15. My parents were like, yeah, we're not gonna buy one, or you're not gonna get one for Christmas or something. Like if you want to have one, like work for it.
Oh really? You had to work for your own smartphone?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. How did you earn the money?
That was not too bad. Yeah, like when I was 14, I basically started working at my dad's company, like plumbing company. So I spent the summers on all forms of construction sites around Oberstdorf, etc. And I really enjoyed that work as well. And so. Yeah, my parents were like, "Yeah, you like we gave you a telephone. Does it have to be a smartphone if you want to have these kind of things like work for it yourself?" And that wasn't too bad, I would say. And then I had that and my first smartphone. It was like, I don't know why, but I really wanted to have like around that time the first like water and shockproof smartphone came out. By Samsung, like an outdoor smartphone, and I really wanted to have that because I was like, if I'm gonna work the whole summer for a phone, I don't want it to be like broken a few months after, and I know myself, and so I wanted to have that like that that kind of bulletproof outdoor smartphone, and then and then I worked like over a summer break. And bought that.
That's awesome. That kind of reminds me of like the worker guys who have the Otter cases for their iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
I think my dad had one of those for a while. I knew a few guys around town who had these. I mean, they had them on the hip, or even sometimes like somehow put into their pocket. These huge Otter cases that are just like. Indestructible, like you could drive a car over them underwater. Somehow work. I don't understand. But I was thinking about that too. I remember I had a phone. The first phone I had was not flip. It was like this cheap little Nokia, same thing as you, like only some texting, mostly just calls. It had like a little orange screen and I played Snake on it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember seeing the advertisements for the Motorola Razr, and dude, I was so obsessed with that phone. I remember the advertisement. It was like the slim little Razr. It was like falling in slow motion and twirling as it went down, and AC/DC's Back in Black was playing.
I remember that ad, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's awesome. I really wanted that. And I think eventually I found a used one. Maybe it was like a year or two later. I got a used, like a blue one, like a blue Motorola Razr eventually. Had that for a while. Loved that. Squeaky door again. and then my first, what was my, I think my brother went with me to the phone store to get my very first smartphone. I waited forever, dude. I used to be against iPhones.
Okay.
If you can believe that. It was like, Everybody I knew
how old
had
were
one.
You?
Let's see. If you were 14, I was probably like 16.
Hmm.
And I really, everyone around me had one. I guess it was like the first or second generation iPhone. And everybody had one. And I remember it was so cool, but I also was kind of like anti iPhone because everyone had one. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, this is the pop music of trendy gadgets to have in your pocket. And I hate that. I don't want to do that. I want to keep things pure or whatever. I don't know why. And eventually either mine broke or it ran out of, my contract was ending or something. And then my brother and my mom, I guess, were like, well, you know, now it would be a good chance to get a smartphone for a reasonable price. I think the contract ended or something. And it was like buying a new contract meant you could get that smartphone for a cheaper price or something. And that's when we went to the store. And I went with my brother and got my first smartphone. I guess it was, I think maybe by that time, somewhere in the first four generations of iPhone, I think I got like a refurbished one from the shop with a new contract. And that was when, the whole game changed, man. Then it was like, you know, pulling up Safari really slow and trying to play as many games as possible and taking like really bad, blurry photos of your friends in class at school. Just really, really bad. But I remember like really, really, really getting into that. And then, basically I just kept that momentum for a while. My parents were really helpful for, like you started work with your dad when you were 14, and my first job was at 15 at this gas station. And my parents always really helped with, I had a car, and I worked for my gas money, for oil changes, and I think I was also paying.
When are you allowed to drive in Tennessee? 16?
So you can get a learner's permit at 15,
okay,
which means you can drive for about a year, but only with someone over 21 in the car.
No.
And then you do that for a year or 6 months or something. And then when you're 16, you can get a full blown license.
And that's what you did.
Yeah, that's what I did. Okay. So I was driving around at 16, this old, it was a little blue tin can. It was a little car, and it was called a Geo Prism, which I've never seen anywhere else in the world.
Prism
the only
or
kind.
Prison?
It was, I would say prism because it was like the opposite of prison in the way that it got me out of the house. It let me be free. And my dad was always into, like, for some reason, my dad's, from pretty early on, he always had an obsession with, like, having a good, like, inside the car, always having a good CD player and speaker set up. So
nice.
he actually wanted me to have this. I don't know if I got to pick it out with him or not, but I had this, you know, you remember the old CD player combos that you could press a button and eject it out of your car? Did you ever see those?
Yeah. Like, dude, the full thing.
Yeah, the whole box would come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had the CD player. It was just one disc, and you could press this button, take the whole box out, and it had these speakers it had like these red LED lights. I loved it. I was so obsessed with this CD box because it had these cool lights and stuff. And I remember like I was so, the car was so junky, but it still ran. And one time I really screwed up because I left high school one day. And I wanted to go to my friend's house after. He lived like 5 miles down the road. And me and him and a third friend were driving our own cars. And they said, let's race to the house. So I had music blasting. And I was pushing my little car as hard as I could. But I was, dude, probably hundreds of miles overdue for an oil change. And I basically blew out a piston in my engine. Like, I destroyed my engine. And it like basically the car popped and smoke started coming out, and it was like like barely running. And I was like, oh no. So I turned the car around and I eased back 3 miles the other way back to where I lived. and pulled it into the driveway. I came in and told my dad, like, hey, I think I messed up the car. Something happened. And I'll always remember this. He went out to check the car. So he got in the seat, turned the engine on to see what was happening. And I was inside the house. And he came back in and he was so mad at me that I had done something stupid with the engine. And the first thing that he noticed when he turns the car on is that the music just immediately blasted him. You know, so like, even though I had blown my engine out of my car and had to like go home, I was still had my music at like full volume. And he was like, don't you have any respect for your car? Like, what do you blew out an engine and it's smoking up and you're still blasting your music. I was like, I'm sorry. Nothing I could do about it anyway.
Give the car some peace.
Give the car some... Listen to your engine, son. Oh, man. Luckily, we had a mechanic down the street. And I think we had to replace, like, 4 parts or something. But, yeah. Little smartphone, little Geo Prism. That was, like, 15, 16.
Awesome.
Yeah. Good times. Good times with my first gear. When did you like what was your first ride one of your parents' cars? That's the normal thing.
I actually owned one car in my life that I got when I like when I turned 18, and I really loved it, but mm-hmm. That car was kind of a bad deal. Like it was a van. It was a pretty cool van, and it only had 2 seats, like driver and the front right seat, and one big, one big storage behind it. And so I built myself a shelf in it, etc. And it was like at the time I was playing in so many bands, and it was great. Like I would have a bass and a guitar and an amplifier always inside my car, and would drive around from one practice or gig to another, and I really liked it. But the thing was, with this van, it was a pretty bad deal because the clutch. Do you call it the clutch? Yeah.
Yeah.
There was something wrong with the clutch already when we bought it, and that led to a point that after 4 months, like I owned this car for 4 months, and after that, I had to go to see a mechanic, and he told me like it's not worth like repairing this anymore. That would cost more than this car is still worth. And I was like, fuck, okay. Because I really like it. I was 18. I got this van, and it was awesome. And after 4 months, it was like, that didn't work anymore. But it wasn't too bad, because then I was moving to Munich, and it was clear that like I really can't use that big car there anyway. But still sad. Yeah, I owned one car for a very short period of time, but that short period of time I really enjoyed it.
Dude, there is something about like a young man's relationship to his first car that's pretty priceless, I'd say.
No. What do you think is going to be the next thing? Like, since we know, like, probably in Europe it's going to happen a little faster than in the US, but like the traditional car, it's not going to be such a huge thing for that long. And I'm not sure if electric cars will be affordable enough that soon that it is a normal thing for young people like to have one as soon as they're allowed to drive. And what do you think could be the next car for young people?
That's hard to say, because I know that what I see a lot these days is that e-scooters, manual scooters, and mopeds are really in full swing again, it seems like.
Dude, I really love my scooter.
Dude, your moped scooter, it's so cool, and I think it's really practical for the city. I think it's they're like, depending on city kids or rural kids, they're more likely to have different things. What I see a lot in Munich Central is plenty of teenagers riding e-scooters, even more so than bicycles. Like, I see them riding around like two on one everywhere all the time.
Important question. How do you make a difference, like, language-wise, between, like, an e-scooter, like, I own, like, the one you actually, like, the Vespa kind of thing where you sit on, and the e-scooters that are all over the city, like, where you stand on, like, these?
So I would say, like, for what you have, Vespa or moped.
Okay.
And then for the kickstand single platform two wheel, I would call that either a scooter or an e-scooter.
Okay.
Depending if it has the battery. But Vespa, I guess that's how I've always heard what you have.
But do you think, like because for me, like, with this car, and because it was so huge, like, it had that special thing for me because, like, it was this van and it was big enough that I could, like, I had everything I could possibly need on a day was, like, in my car. And so I had this feeling like, okay, I can go anywhere I want and have anything I need with me. And that made that feeling for me. Like, okay, and if I, like, and I was fresh out of high school and was like, okay, if I want to go, I don't know, there or there, like, I'll just do it. Like, I decide when I go there and I got all my stuff with me. And, like, that's probably that kind of, quotation mark, freedom, like, you talk about with having a car. Do you think, like, stuff like e-scooters, etc., can replace that?
I don't think, not permanently. I don't think permanently. I mean, I guess it depends on how widely available they become and how, I don't know, because the way I see it now, there's so many companies and it's not really cheap to use them every day. So of course a lot of people still will buy their, like, it's again, it's like city or country, because in the city, a huge amount of people will always buy their monthly tickets for public transportation. They're always going to take a bus and the
makes complete sense.
And the tram. Totally. And I think in the city, that's just like, if you're someone who wants to bike, you're going to bike. If you don't have one or don't want to, you're going to use public transport or an e-scooter. So I don't see a lot of teens in the city growing up in apartments getting a car at 16 or 18 or whatever. But I think in the country, you're probably always going to have more population of younger people getting their first car. If the family, you know, is in a, you know, certain kind of financial situation, I think you're going to more likely see people getting like, oh, you know, my mom had this car since 2003 and I'm going to be 17 soon. Mm. So, you know, maybe we can talk about, can I start driving your car more and more and more? And then eventually maybe she gives it to me. That's how it was, at least for me. Like, I drove my parents' cars all the time. And then eventually it should have happened the opposite way. Like, I drove my parents' cars all the time. So what I've seen a lot of friends, what happens with a lot of friends is that they just get one of their parents' cars and the parents get a different car for themselves. And that did happen for me, but on my second car. So I had the Geo Prism because I was driving their cars a lot and they said, okay, you know, he's whatever, 16. He's going to be driving all the time now. Let's go get him a very old, very cheap, very used car. And that's how they got me the Geo Prism. But then after I screwed that car up, then I started driving my parents' cars again. And my mom wanted something else. So I got her Toyota Camry and she got a different car. And then we shared, of course, for a while too. And sometimes I would drive my dad's truck, which was also fun, but I was never a truck guy. I always felt like it was too big on the road. I didn't want to crash it. But that's how I think it happens a lot in the country. You know, if you're further out from where you want to go and you're further out from your friends or from the city, you're going to drive. And probably if you're driving enough, your parents will eventually, if they can afford it, depending on your situation, either say, okay, now my car is your car and we use it, we just talk to each other, or now you can have this car and I'm going to get something else. But I don't imagine right now that something else other than public transportation, e-scooters, or cars will replace, will be replaced. I don't see it being replaced right now because I haven't seen, maybe I haven't been out enough, but I haven't seen a new option yet. Oh yeah, let me see here. Oh, I know this one. That's awesome. That's cool, dude.
Yeah, then we can only hope like that. It's by the way, just in this chat here, I send you a picture of the car model I had. Which was owned, by the way, by, you know, Fetus, like who plays with Tim and Josef Jr. in Grete Wendelfehler.
I'm just looking up
and,
a...
And he owned that car before.
This was
like
it.
He's one of my
this
dad's oldest friends.
This was my car. Let's and, see if I can... With so the call
get
happening
that.
On
and
the hotspot, I'm not sure if I can pull it up right now in the moment. But
let's hope for young kids in rural areas that... Soon
ooh,
enough, like cars that run on new forms of engines.
That little blue tin can, that light blue one,
are soon enough like nice. Affordable.
That was me.
Can we? These so somehow we need to put these pictures in the podcast description or something, because otherwise, I guess the last 5 minutes make absolutely no sense for our listeners.
Oh yeah, and I can try and post them too when we announce the episode. Oh, yeah. So I think I have to wrap up the show here, but I do want to say one last thing. For anyone who's listening, and this also goes for you, Mo, but anyone who's listening, I need a little help. And if you have any help that you can give me, feel free to send. If you have Instagram, you know, please send me a DM at Jordan Prince or at Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. I'll check it out. Or you can send an email. That we'll put in the description, artsyfartsyimmigrants@gmail.com. But basically, pretty soon, within like a couple of months or early next year, I have to absolutely pass a B1 German exam. A couple of years ago or whatever, I took my A1 and I passed it with 100%, which I was very proud of. But B1 is a different beast, and I have this big exam regarding my visa coming up, so I have to pass it. So if anybody has any good connection to a B1 tutor, someone who specifically can tutor me on passing this exam, or if someone has a good recommendation for something they did to better themselves for an exam, please send me any advice. I'm open to all advice, all suggestions. I'll check everything out. But specifically, like ideally, if there's a tutor, you know, someone who's a German teacher, you know, someone who's, just a native speaker, but can educate someone well, then, send it over. That's my all call to the listeners.
I already sent out one text message that I probably have somebody. I'll let you know.
That'd be great. Yeah, let me know. And if you guys wonder to yourselves, oh, maybe he already has somebody, send it anyway. Because maybe it didn't work out.
And so from January on, we'll be sending out German episodes more regularly, I guess.
Right. That's the goal. Die Artsy Fartsy Immigrants.
Die Kunstfurz Immigranten.
Oh my God.
Sounds horrible.
Keep the show clean, man. Keep the show clean. Nice. Well, guys, thank you so much again for listening. We love you, and we'll be back next week.
Nice, nice. See you then.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.